This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
After waiting for this game since August, it's finally here. This is it. Don't get scared now. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard and welcome to the pre-match show brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. We're live every Thursday, 8 o'clock on YouTube. And if you can't join us then, we're available on demand on video and podcast afterwards. And after a two-day break, Sebastian Brown, we are back and we are sweating cobs because we're wearing Christmas jumpers. Whose stupid idea was that, by the way?
I'm sure it was yours.
It was yours. Definitely yours. Should we wear Christmas jumpers, Rich? That your words. I'm playing the back.
A really accurate impression as well, to be fair. Yeah, it's a bit warm, isn't it? I've got the light on me. And yeah, if you start to see the sweat pouring down at the 30-minute mark, I might have to turn the light off. It's a little bit toasty. What's yours? Star Wars?
Yeah, I've got Merry Sithmas or something like that.
Okay, I'm on form. Yeah.
I need someone to get me an upgraded Ipswich Town Christmas jumper. Hopefully Santa will oblige. We are here to talk about them lot. We're here to talk about the East Anglian Derby. I'm going to see how long it is before I say the word, Seb. And championship predictions. We're also going to give away, in partnership with our mates at the Ground, we're going to give away two breakfast baps. You can head to the Ground, early plug for the Ground. You head there pre-match from 10 o'clock. The bar will be open at 10 o'clock on Saturday. We will be there, Seb. So we'll give away two breakfast baps to two members of the chat. I don't know what we're going to do to earn it, but we'll figure out as we go along. Maybe stick something in the chat, something memorable in the chat, and we'll see what's going on there. Talking of the chat, let's see what we've got there. Here we go. It's starting, Seb. 79 CPS. We smash them. Elliot, get the pre-chat hyped. Let's go. Joining us over on Telegram. Great to have you with Elliot, FBL Tractor. Who are we playing this weekend? Yeah, we'll give you all the details you need to know, FBL Tractor. Just another game in the championship. Mullet is here. Evening, lads. Thumbs up if you hate Leeds or them lot. And Benjamin's here from Ben's Video. Thanks for joining over here, Benjamin. Enjoyed championship checking with Sam and Ben earlier. Definitely recommend that. Isaac's any good for watching the game on Saturday? I suspect so. The Plough, Seb. Any recommendations for venues to watch the game if people aren't able to get to Portman Road? Stick them in the chat as well. John is here. Bring on Saturday. Up the expletive town. 100 points, 100 goals already in the bag this calendar year. Andreas is here. Nick is here. Rob is here. Good evening, everyone. Nerves are starting to kick in now. We owe them. Mark is here. Let's get on and at them. Time to send them home, saying beaten by a very good side. Yep. Sean's here quoting someone whose name I shan't mention. Where are you? Let's be having you. A lot of good stuff in the chat. Andy here, looking forward to this pod. Tim's here, packed for an early getaway from Plymouth tomorrow. Matt's here, Nick's here, double Nick's, and here's Colin. We will win, full stop, everyone. You've heard it here first. So he's expecting at least one of Rich and Seb to have blue and white. Well, we're disappointed. Christmas jumpers is all we could do for you, Matt. Ashley's here, though. Great stuff, everyone. We will get to as many of you as we can. Before we get into the kind of, well, we'll do a bit of a news roundy up, be a bit like we usually do, Seb. How are your emotions after Wednesday? Obviously, a big win on Tuesday night. Good to go into this game on the back of two away, really tough away games and 6 points. How was your emotions as of Thursday night when we record?
Well, I'm a lot calmer than I was on the podcast 48 hours ago.
You haven't said the F-bomb yet. So
I haven't sworn. No, we're 4 minutes in. I think I swore after 3 minutes last time. So I'm doing better than I did on Tuesday night. Yeah, obviously, brilliant performance to go into the back of this game on. The fact we went to Borough and won, the fact we went to Watford and won, obviously means that we've managed to do the hard work. And this is certainly not a free hit, but it takes the pressure off us a little bit had we not got the results we've already previously clocked up. I'm very calm going into the game, to be honest with you. I have complete faith in McKenna, as we all obviously do. I'm not overly concerned. At 2:55 on Saturday, I'll probably be slightly different. But as of this point, no, I am calm. I've done my usual research. We've done the usual rhythm and routine we always do. We were discussing in the green room saying, you know, we've been doing this now for 3 years. We've done big games. We've done insignificant games. We've done boring games. This is the first time we've ever done the East Anglian derby. So it feels a little bit different. But my overall emotion, I would say, is calmness. And I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it because, as we'll discuss, I'm sure, at some point, it's been so long. You know, so often these games just filled me with dread, and, you know, we'd sometimes get excited about what we could possibly be, and we'd inevitably be disappointed at the end. So, yeah, I'm excited, but I'm calm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people making the trip over as well. Definitely a bit of a pilgrimage, feels very appropriate this time of year. But hello to folks in Melbourne, Chile. Andy's coming over from Boston. He's saying straight off the train overnight to walk into the Norwich game. So good luck with that. A good shout from Nick here, Seb. You are going to turn up at...
Oh, yeah. Thanks, mate. Yeah. Good point. I messed that one up a little bit, didn't I? Yeah.
Shed loads of research and forget the kickoff time. Come on, Seb. We can do it. So yeah, we'll come to the chat throughout. Give us your thoughts, folks. We will do predictions at the end, so hold on to those. And someone's already said they love BAPS. So that's the kind of thing that's going to win you a Greyhound breakfast if you want one of those. So keep those in mind as well. In terms of bits and pieces of news, Seb, two very brief bits. One is ITFC fans supporting food banks, again, doing amazing work. And they've got a Derby Day appeal, haven't they? It's kind of a bit of cross-funding going on, isn't it? Arms across the border, isn't it, kind of thing?
Yeah, as we've said in the past, you know, the work these guys do is absolutely phenomenal. There was a collection at the Coventry game, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago. So it's not a normal collection. What they've done is they've set up a couple of GoFundMe pages, one for us town fans and one for them lots over the border. And basically, if you can, yeah, please do help out. It's obviously cash donations this time, and I'm sure they'll run a tally at the end of it, and we can see how much great work's been done by both sets of fans to help those in need that need it this kind of time of year. So it's at ITFC_FSF for all the details and the links for the respective pages. Click on the Ipswich one, and if you're in a position to do so, please donate generously and help people out if you can, because it's a really great work those guys do.
Yep. Michael from Australia, Vegemite or Marmite on the pre-match bat?
Marmite every day of the week. Do you know what? I'd rather have a Marmite bat than a bacon bat, to be honest.
That is nonsense, everyone. Flip that on your podcast.
My biggest worry, I got COVID a couple of years ago. My biggest concern was, for about 3 weeks afterwards, I couldn't taste Marmite, and I was gutted. I was absolutely gutted, but thankfully it all returned.
I haven't been able to taste Marmite for... Well, given the BBC doubted me today, I haven't been able to taste Marmite for 40 years because it don't even get near it. ITFC women are in cup action, a second attempt after the blooming pitch at Felixstowe let us down, or the weather let us down, to be more accurate. So excited to take on Championship Lewis again, the welcome back of Anna Gray, Sarah Bracero, Carrera as well. So a week off for the Tracts girls. Hopefully they'll be up and ready for this one and looking to get through to the next round against Charlton, Championship Charlton, Freya Godfrey's current side, and FBL's in the chat, his local team as well. So get down to the AGL, 1 p.m. kickoff. I can confirm the kickoff for folk. Don't turn up at 2, 1 p.m. I'm pretty certain it's 1 p.m. Matt might need to help me out in the chat. So yeah, do get down and get tickets in advance if you're listening to this before Friday at midday. Otherwise, turn up on the day, get involved, bang the drum, sing a song, and hopefully into the fourth round we go. Right, Seb, I'm putting this off no more. Let's talk about them lot. You've given your emotions. My emotions is very similar, and this is kind of how I imagine things to be at Portman Road or Playford Road at the moment, which is we've just got to do what we usually do on Saturday, admittedly usually at 3 o'clock, but 12:30. Professionalism is, and that is what we want. And generally this season when we've done that, we've won matches. So don't change anything, basically. And so the format for the pre-match show is going to be very similar. We will do our usual structure. We will give them lot the respect they deserve in terms of giving you the details and the insights. And then it'll help break loose for the second half of the show. Give us your summary of the team up the road.
Well, I think the term not a happy home life is probably the best way to describe it. Obviously, they are now a year two parachute payment club. So they came down last year. If you've been in the Premier League for one season, you get 2 years with the payments. Last year was their year one. This year is their year two. So it's kind of almost in the you know, we have to get out of the league this year or we're going to find ourselves in a real pickle. And I think that's kind of been the basis for their transfer strategy, which we'll discuss shortly. So, you know, they had so many years, didn't they, of selling assets, James Maddison, Ben Godfrey. You know, they would find ways to kind of buy younger talent or develop talent internally, get good money for it, and then just storm the league and then make a fairly pathetic, pitiful attempt to stay in the Premier League, get relegated with an awful defence and an awful points tally, and then just win the league again. So it's kind of what they did for the last few years. But obviously last year, it all kind of went wrong for them. And now their losses are mounting up. Their accounts have come out. They're not in a good place financially. And then you add the fact that they've kind of got this situation with the sporting director and David Wagner. So he's still in post at the moment. They're this weird scenario where Stuart Webber puts his notice period in and agrees to stay on and ease the transition for Ben Napper to come across from Arsenal, which we all joked and said probably makes David Wagner one of the safest roles in the league at the moment because there's nobody in the building to sack him. You know, Stuart Webber's not going to sack his mate. Ben Napper's not arrived yet to sack him. We all kind of expected he would be there'd be a corner flag kind of statement the day after Ben Napper was appointed, and it didn't happen. And they have picked up recently, you know, a few weeks ago. This is probably, you know, a slightly more difficult encounter on Saturday than it would have been a few weeks ago when they were in one of their awful runs. But the pressure is on. Yeah, well, I guess we're all expecting a managerial change at some point in a year two parachute side with an aging squad. So it'll be interesting to see what they do for the rest of the season and how quickly that change is made. It might be made as quickly as, you know, a heavy defeat on Saturday. We don't know. But for now, the last 3 years, I guess, including the Premier League season, certainly haven't gone to plan.
Yeah, and there's no real excuses for it either. I think there's a lot of envious eyes at Norwich when we were under, I've used the M word, there you go, finally, 11 minutes in. A lot of envious eyes when we were under Evans and basically, you know, haplessly run rather than maliciously badly run, but just terrible decisions were commonplace at Ipswich. And then Delia had Webber and parachute money and Premier League money and just seemingly just couldn't figure out a strategy to make them a credible Premier League outfit. They just needed to finish, was it 17th once? And I think it's a game changer for them. No pun intended. But you have to say, given, you know, we've been apart for a few years, and whenever we play them since 2009, we've come off the bottom of it. They've generally been well managed, but just don't have the wherewithal to punch through that ceiling. And you kind of feel like when we meet together on Saturday, we've been down to League One. We've had our medicine, we've had a takeover, we've got a manager in, we're very upwardly mobile, but it does kind of feel like a bit of one of these crossroads that tends to happen at East Anglian derbies. It'd be really interesting to see, but I kind of feel like if I'm a Norwich fan, I'm quite entitled to be a bit mardy with the ownership, and maybe Napa's going to change things. And the managerial appointments similarly don't really seem to have had any strategy or plan behind me either. We'll talk more about Wagner later on. So here's an interesting kind of point in Norwich's recent history, isn't it? And yeah, it kind of maybe has happened a good time in terms of playing us. I don't know. We'll find out on Saturday. Talk to us about state of play, where they stand in the league table and recent form. Because you said a bit of an uptick after Wagner had come under serious pressure.
Yeah, we all assumed he would have gone, you know, that awful winless run they had. But he has turned it around in recent weeks. So after last night, the 3-1 home victory over Sheffield Wednesday last night, they currently find themselves 11th in the table, 30 points. They've won 9 games so far this season, drawn 3 and lost 9. They have a neutral goal difference. They've scored 37 and they've conceded 37. Now, the 37 goals they've scored is the third highest in the league after ourselves, obviously, and Leicester, averaging 1.8 per game. So it's a side that does score goals. Equally, the 37 goals they've conceded is the second most in the league after bottom of the table Rotherham. So yeah, they are okay at one end and okay at the other end. Sorry, okay at one end in terms of scoring goals, but very open and pretty poor at the back. And you're simply not going to get anywhere with a neutral goal difference, are you? They had a strong start to the season. It was a bit annoying, wasn't it? And we had a brilliant start to the season. I remember sitting on here with I remember sitting on here with a podcast with Ben, one of the early preview shows of the season, and we were discussing the predictions, and he said, Norwich are quite good, aren't they? And I was like, yeah, annoyingly they are. They won 4 and drew 1 of the first 5 games of the season. Then there was a bit of a shock defeat to Rotherham. Now, we know Rotherham are pretty decent at home, to be fair. You know, we went there and we got a point.
Don't big up Rotherham too much. Don't know we drew.
No, but at home, they're a different beast, aren't they? At the New York Stadium, whatever it's called, they are a different beast. They lost there, and that set them off on this awful run of form. It was one win in the next 11, and that's when we all assumed Wagner would go at some point. Obviously, however, the fact that they had kind of an interim sporting director waiting for somebody else to come and replace him means that no one was there to pull the trigger. Since then, things have improved. 2-0 down away to Cardiff, end up winning it 3-2. And that equally, you know, we spoke about streaky Lee Johnson in the past, for example. That has set them off on this kind of decent run of form in the last six. That the form of the last six games is the fourth best in the league, with 4 wins, a draw, a 0-0 draw at home to Preston last weekend, and a defeat, Watford away. Winning at Watford away isn't for everybody, as I see you've noted in the script. It's a strange season. Started really well, awful run in the middle. They didn't sack the manager, didn't do anything like a normal club would do, and things have started to turn around a little bit. So it's very strange. Away from home, they're not the best. 11 points from 10 games is pretty average. It's the 15th best in the league, but like they score goals overall, they do score a lot of goals away from home. 21 goals scored on the road is the joint highest, along with Leicester. However, like I said previously, the 25 goals they've conceded away from home is the second highest after Rotherham. So They will score goals away from home, but they will let in a hell of a lot as well. And they've only kept one clean sheet away from Carrow Road so far this season.
There may be goals in this one then. Last about away was a kind of a sneaky 2-1 victory at Bristol City, I believe. Adam Eder, I think, scored a late goal there.
Very late, wasn't it? Yeah.
Liam Manning still not really getting Bristol City any kind of consistent form at the moment. So, you know, we'll talk about who they tend to beat in a second. But in action on Wednesday night, it may be helpful for us to have played 24 hours earlier, perhaps. But yep. For them, I guess a confidence-boosting win and an impressive debut, or at least an impressive first start for someone in particular, Seb. Talk to us about Sheffield Wednesday win.
Yeah, 3-1 victory at Carrow Road last night over Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday have improved in recent weeks. I'm not sure it's a result to be kind of sniffed at. Yeah, the opening goal was lovely. Borja Sainz with his first strike of the season. He signed in the summer from a Turkish club. Plays on the left-hand side. Lovely. What did I say?
You said Sainz.
It is Sainz, isn't it?
Sainz. Come on, Sainz.
Whatever. Just
to be clear, everyone, I think this might be the last you and me on the pre-match before Christmas, which is why we're in the Christmas jumpers. So I'm going to go all guns blazing on pronunciations and all sorts tonight. We've got to play pre-match show bingo, haven't we? So yeah, signs. Keep going.
Signs. Lovely opening goal from Borja Sainz on his first start of the season. XG wasn't as high as the scoreline suggested. 1.6 XG for Norwich versus 1.51 for Sheffield Wednesday. Only 48% possession. And then this stat shocked me. Norwich had 12 shots. Sheffield Wednesday had 21 shots. Now, I think there's only 5 or 6 on target. But yeah, 21 shots made me sort of stand up and think, oh, this could be fun on Saturday. When I was watching it last night, I watched the first 2/3 of the game. They were very open, I thought, through the middle. And I just kept sort of thinking the big pockets of space the likes of Volks and Barry Bannon and stuff were picking up, and I could just picture, you know, Luongo moving slightly forward, Chaplin dropping slightly deeper into the space, and thinking, yeah, that's the reason they've conceded 25 goals away from Carrow Road, because they seem to be very, very open in the middle, I thought.
Yeah, Michael here saying that the wingers that came in maybe don't track us back as much as they might, certainly as much as Burns does, for example. Eric, we've got to say thank you to David continuing to support the podcast. Appreciate you, David. Thank you for the super chat. You can do likewise if you're watching on YouTube. There's a little button in the chat box to do that. But otherwise, as we always say, a thumbs up would be really appreciated as well. Nudge us up the algorithms, all that dark artsy stuff that we always talk about as well. So thank you. And thank you once again, David. We really appreciate you there. Talk to us about the nature of the teams that Norwich tend to win and lose against then, Seb, because you can read a lot into a win against Sheffield Wednesday if you want to, but it's kind of typical that maybe they get the points against the teams that you'd expect them to and maybe struggle against the teams higher up. Fair?
That's the story of their season, isn't it? Yeah, you know, they've had defeats so far against Leicester, Leeds, Blackburn, Sunderland or Watford, and us to come on Saturday, obviously. But their wins have been Birmingham, Stoke, Millwall, Huddersfield, QPR and Sheffield Wednesday last night. So this is why they'll probably finish somewhere between, I don't know, 9th and 15th in the table, I would probably imagine, at the end of the year. They beat the sides, flat track bullies for the sides below them. They should beat, given the kind of playing squad they've got. But when they come up against teams who are, you know, maybe a more advanced manager tactically, a better patterns of play, younger players, they do tend to struggle. And that's why they've got a neutral goal difference. And that's why they probably will finish in mid-table, because they're just not good enough to beat the sides consistently challenging at the top of the table, and they do beat the ones they should beat, which is why they'll finish, I reckon, yeah, like I said, somewhere around mid-table.
Yeah, well, it's going to be as I said, it's a real crossroads kind of point for the moment. Their season isn't decided on the weekend just as much as it isn't for us as well. But let's talk about the owners and David Wagner for a second, Seb. We can talk about last season and them missing out on the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But really, the talk is of the ownership. Someone's already asked us about the state of play there with the takeover, which is pending. Obviously, Napa has come in. But David Wagner has got a one-year rolling contract. And I always kind of think when a manager is given a one-year rolling contract, there's one or two things at play. Either the manager is out of their league and he's kind of doing them a favour and hedging his bets that he can make an impression, then get a job somewhere else. Or it's the other way around. The club have all the power and they think they might be able to do better. And particularly because it's a club that should be expecting to challenge for top six, it's an easy thing to fire him. I don't know whether they can fire him until the 6th of January, which is when I think the contract was signed. So I don't think anything changes for him until January. And then they may have money to spend because they're a parachute club. So it's a really weird time for Wagner, weird time for Norwich. Kind of take us through what the state of play is and try and give us your take on whether Wagner's a kind of a dead man walking anyway, or whether he might still be in charge come the end of January.
Well, I think the one-year rolling contract means it's automatically 1 year from the date of... That's how I read a one-year rolling contract. So I think his contract would expire 1 year from today, and that's how it works. That's how I see a one-year rolling contract. So there's not going to be much compensation to kind of pay him off. I figured it was a one-year deal because Weber knew he was going to leave. So, you know, he fires Dean Smith last season. He picks up his mobile. He rings his mate, brings him in. He probably says to him, look, I'm going to go in a year's time. So we'll put you on a year-by-year deal. If you're rubbish, you'll get a year's payoff if the new guy doesn't fancy you. And that's the kind of weird off the field kind of sort of state of limbo the club seems to have been stuck in. I think it was it summertime they announced Weber was going to depart, but he told Delia in March.
Isn't it?
Yeah, he told Delia in March. It was a 12-month notice period, which, you know, how can an organisation function like that? Because you've got the outgoing guy isn't going to want to make any crucial decisions because, you know, it's not really his problem anymore. The new person's not in post yet to kind of act on things. Delia obviously employs people to run the football club on her behalf and probably doesn't want to make the day-to-day kind of decisions like sacking key staff members. So it's a really kind of strange dynamic, which has ultimately cost them. You know, they bought Ben Napper's appointment forward during this awful run of form. I think it was about the last week of November he kind of comes in. So the current situation is Delia and her husband, Wyn Jones, they own 40% of the club. American Mark Attanasio, who owns the Milwaukee Brewers Baseball Club, he bought 16% a couple of years ago, and that stake was increased. It was signed off in October. I don't know if it's gone through ratification yet, but he's now increased his shareholding to 40%. Apparently, there is an agreement that Delia and her husband will stay in the day-to-day running of the club until 2026, when presumably Attanasio will increase his share further, buy her out, or he'll become the day-to-day kind of operations manager. As we said, Weber was working this weird...
It probably is Weber, by the way. Sorry, keep going. Yeah.
Weber was working this weird 12-month notice period. Ben Knapp had scouting roles at Arsenal. He had a couple of football operation roles at Arsenal. Never done the director of football role before. He's come in early. AGM a couple of weeks ago where Delia comes out and says that, you know, 10 to 20% of our fans are whingers and they have no idea what it takes to run a football club. And yeah, just really kind of strange off the field stuff, which I think has completely hampered them both in the transfer market. We'll discuss their strategy. Was it a quick fix to try and get themselves up? And then
strategy, yeah.
And then Weber can say, you know, well, it's not my problem anymore. This is the squad you've got to work with. And I think it's really hampered them. They're losing money hand over fist. The latest accounts came out covering the period April 2022 to April 2023, and they lost 27 million quid because they haven't had that key asset they can flog. You know, in previous years, there's been a Maddison, there's been a Ben Godfrey, someone they can dip into, sell on, and then reinvest sensibly and, you know, go out and get the likes of, you know, Timo Pukki for pennies, who will end up scoring 25 goals a season. It's just not worked for them this season. And I guess they're probably very loath to spend much in January, given it might be a new managerial appointment. Ben Napper's only been in post for, what, 6 weeks at that point? And the fact they're losing so much money means they've probably got to look to balance the books. It's probably the opposite. They're probably going to have to fight to keep hold of a couple of their players because bigger fish will be circling, knowing the financial kind of situation they're in.
Here comes Farker looking for bargains to be had at Leeds, yeah, no doubt.
Exactly.
We'll come on to the talent in a second. We'll also talk more about Wagner and just give people the once over. But everyone's going crazy in the super chat, Seb. We need to pause and say thank you to a lot of people who have obviously taken pity on us sweating our nuts off in these Christmas jumpers, or it's the season of goodwill. Maybe we need to give away another BAP or something like that. I don't know. But firstly, Matt, thank you for the £5 super chat. We appreciate you, Matt. We love you. Thank you very much for that. And then I'm trying to do this in chronological order, so please shout if I've missed anyone out. Steve is then up next. Here's my Christmas present as thanks for your interesting and intelligent convos. Well, not for us to say, Steve, but you've your words, and we appreciate you as well, Steve. Thank you for joining in the chat. We see you every week. Gary is here as well, done similar. Thank you so much, Gary. Another stalwart of this is getting very sentimental and lovey-dovey, isn't it? Of the pre-match pods and the Telegram group as well. Gary, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. And then Paul's got involved as well. Fiverr, thank you so much,
Paul.
Thank you, folks. I think we're going to probably have to think about doing something. I think we'll do a donation maybe to the football fan supporting food banks thing. On behalf of the pod, to kind of placate some of the guilt that we feel of you guys dipping your hands in your pocket. We appreciate you so much, and you guys make this show what it is as well. We do. It wouldn't mean anything if Seb and I were just talking to each other. So you guys in the chat and in the Telegram group, all of you, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's talk about Wagner then, Seb. We've kind of tried to speculate on the one-year contract. I don't feel like I'm any closer in understanding that, but it is what it is. And I'm sure if they wanted to get rid of him, they could. But it just kind of feels like since Farker, they haven't really figured out a strategy of the kind of manager they want to appoint. We'll talk about Weber. Well, Weber and Wagner have kind of got a link there. It's kind of lazy, isn't it? If you kind of, and definitely talk to us about is the end of his spell at Schalke as well, because I don't think it would have buttoned many parsnips for Norwich fans when he was linked and when he joined. But even Dean Smith before Wagner didn't feel like a fit. And it, the sacking of Wagner was Farker was presumably to try to gear them up to be more successful and sticking around the Premier League, and it obviously backfired. But they don't really appear to have a strategy behind the managers they're now recruiting. And as I said, Wagner appears to be a kind of convenience with Weber in post. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think he rang his mate and said, look, I need a bit of help here. I mean, it's hard to remember that, you know, at the time they fired Dean Smith, okay, there were lots of criticisms over, they went out of the Premier League pretty much under a whimper. The football was pretty awful by all accounts, but they were fifth. They were fifth in the league when they fired him. So, you know, they were in the playoffs. I presume they expected autos given what they normally do when they come back down to this level. But they were fifth. They were doing okay. Okay, I think they were 12 points off the automatics. But they were still in a relative position of strength when they sacked him. And then Wagner comes in. He gets a bit of a bounce. He's appointed in January this year. So January 2023. He wins six of his first 10. So he gives them a little bit of a bounce. I remember in the Telegram group, people were saying they're going to gate crash sixth on the last day of the season because they're jammy and they're going to end up getting promoted again, because it's what they do and they'll get a load more money for it. But it just tailed right off. The season ended with a bit of a whimper. I think it was four defeats in the last five games of the season. The fans clearly aren't happy. And yeah, like you said, his record since, I think he might be a bit of a busted flush, to be honest with you. He's best known in this country for his work at Huddersfield. So he goes there 2016-2017 season. He ends up taking them up to the Premier League. Weber is his sporting director. He then keeps them up for one season up there before going halfway through the next season with them 8 points adrift of safety. But since then, you know, he went to Schalke and Schalke got relegated. He set a new record. I think it was 16 games without a win at Schalke, and they end up getting relegated at the end of the season. He goes to Young Boys in Switzerland, who were they were looking for their fourth league title in a row. Didn't manage to do that either, so they fired him again. And now he rocks up back at Norwich. Also, he's known for his time at Borussia Dortmund too, when Klopp was in charge of the Borussia Dortmund main side. But yeah, I just think that Huddersfield season aside, and fair play, keeping them up the next season, you're looking at what, two solid kind of years in the last seven, eight years. I think he might be a bit of a busted flush, to be honest with you. What's your thoughts? Now, am I being overly harsh? Because the record isn't great, is it?
No, well, I think you have to reflect the perspective of Norwich fans as well, who seemingly all voted with their feet a few weeks back. And I don't think many have changed their mind since the slight uptick in form. I think probably if I was a Norwich fan, and I'm not, thank goodness, I would be looking at the calibre of players they've got, particularly the attacking players, and think this team is capable of so much more. And when you kind of ask those questions, I think you're looking at the manager and the tactics, which is the point you made, and maybe suggesting, you know, if McKenna had the likes of Rowe, Sarah, Barnes or whatever, would he be getting more out of this team? And I think probably, McKenna would get anything out of any team, wouldn't he? But I think that to me suggests that maybe his days are maybe numbered at Norwich, depending on what the situation is off the field, which obviously we're not massively informed about. So maybe so. But, you know, it's got relative pedigree and you know, seemingly done something to change their fortunes in recent weeks. So I guess we shouldn't write him off too quickly, but Norwich fans seem to have. So that's maybe something we should reflect on. We have to deal with this now. Let's talk about history, Seb, and in the chat, to kind of make up for we want light and shade here. If you want to give us your best East Anglian derby memories, be they on the field or off the field, and maybe give yourself a chance of winning a breakfast bat with no Marmite on it, let us know in the chat. But Seb, it's really nicely poised overall historically, as much as we've been shit. We're half an hour in now, so I'll swear. Apologies, kids. We've still got more wins overall.
We have, yeah, slightly. So we have 43 wins. They have 42 wins. And there's been 22 draws. That just shows how much we must have been ahead of them going into, what was it, 2009, isn't it? How far we would be. I know there's been a fair few draws in the last few years, but the fact that we haven't beaten them for 14 years now, or whatever it is, and we're still one game ahead on the overall record shows how poor they must have been back in the day. The last time we played there, obviously, was the Battle of Carrow Road in February 2019. 3-0 victory for Norwich. Didn't Max Aaron score after, like, 3 minutes or something stupid, and then Paul Lambert tried to deflect the fact he was an absolutely crap manager by trying to fight half of the bench, wasn't he? And yeah, it was painful, wasn't it? The game earlier in that season, the September under Paul Hurst, I think that was the game he dropped Bart, wasn't it? It's when Gherkin came into the side, a 1-1 draw. I was quite optimistic after that. I think it was the game before an international break, and Johnny Walters was back, and Gwion Edwards scored with a deflected effort. And okay, we equalised, but I remember their fans were chanting, "Farker, sort it out." That kind of
crossroads
stuff,
moment.
It just felt a little bit like, you know, or potentially we're not as far apart as we thought. And obviously we all know that season they ended up winning the league. We ended up getting relegated. So yeah, we took 1 point off them in the relegation season. Our last victory, as we all know, was April 2009. Jim Magilton's final game. I think Roy Keane replaced him 48 or 72 hours later. 3-2 victory, goals from Alan Quinn, Gio Dos Santos with the penalty, and John Stead off the bench. And obviously Norwich went down that season to League One. So yeah, that was the last time, folks. April 2009. An awful lot has changed since then.
Yeah, well, John Stead's goal I really liked in that game as well. I always loved John Stead. Massively underrated player for us.
Agreed.
Before we go to the chat, there's lots in the chat. What are your any particular memories that you want to single out, Seb?
Up for my era is the 5-0, isn't it? You know, that run of, was it Oxford 5-1, somebody else 5-0,
and then
don't know. Norwich 5-0, obviously. Yeah, the Matthew hat-trick in the first half. Bobby Petty with two after the break. Yeah, that's my overriding memory. I also really enjoyed the... Do you remember under Jim? I think it was Jim's second season. So after the Danny Haynes handball, we played them at Port. I think Legwinski equalised and Danny Haynes got a couple late on.
Yeah.
We just always seemed to beat them back then. And yeah, anyone like me, if you're around about sort of 40, then it's the 5-0, isn't it? Let's be honest. I presume that's yours as well.
Yeah, the fight. You can read my article in BBC website. Hark at me. But yeah, I mentioned the 5-0, and the first one I'm pretty certain I went to it, but the mind starts playing tricks. Was the Gary Megson own goal game 2-1 last minute? Yeah. There's been a few classic own goals in that one, isn't there? Not least Rob Ullathorne, David W's name, Brian Gunn, no contest. Yeah, Gary, Gunn or Megson. Brian Gunn says 80. Cotton socks, Danny Haynes off the bench to score 2-0. Bit of a deep cut here. Mitch Davray header in the Milk Cup semi first leg to win the game. Cried when we lost 2-0 at Carrow Road. I think that Steve Bruce wasn't involved in that one for them. What else have we got? Colin, always good for a bit of history. My first East Anglian derby was Carrow Road 3-4-4-3. Colin Viljoen hat-trick, Richardson.
Lovely.
Beautiful. John Abbott. We'll talk more about this. The Andy Marshall shield at stake. Definitely didn't cover himself in glory for either team, I think, in the East Anglian derby, if I remember rightly. Alex, I've only been to one. It was horrendous. Don't want to think about it. We'll move on. FBL attractive favourite ever, the 2-0 at Carrow Road just before Christmas. Yeah, we've got a good, fairly decent record around Christmas time, haven't we?
I remember Leon McKenzie at Portman
Road. Oh, true. Yeah, well, back in the day, maybe more so. We've got a good, I remember the Kiwambia header from the corner on Sky, wasn't it, as well? Hello to Jack, by the way. God, I can't be there Saturday after my eye op. I'll be watching from home with one good eye. We wish you all the best with the speedy recovery there, Jack. Sorry you can't make the game. I think you're now part of the Telegram group, so hopefully the match day chat will keep you company there. Michael said, just say the Gunn own goal. I mean, we need to give credit to Robert Ullathorne. Brian Gunn didn't touch the ball. That's the whole point. So we need to give, if anyone needs a reaction gif or gif of Rob Ullathorne going, then I can send that to you because it's very useful, I'm sure. Chris Rand, Megson's own goal wasn't as funny as Ullathorne's, but it inspired T-shirts. Classic. Richard also mentioned in the 2-0 at Carrow Road, one of the tensest, most joyous games I've ever been to. John Abbott, the 2-0 at Carrow Road in 2003 when Marshall went back. So was Andy Marshall playing at Carrow Road then? Of course he was. Yeah, fine. Yeah. So maybe. Yeah. I remember that.
Darren Dean Bent Bodich, on the 90th minute, wasn't it? Yeah, Dean Bodich comes on.
Craig Fleming, and Craig Fleming pulls up with a hammy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And we don't stop and crosses it in. Yeah. And is that the Vilnius goal, I think?
Yeah, Miller goes in for it. It falls to Willens on the edge of the area, who smashes it home. And then it's Darren Bent in the last minute. I think it was an assist by Bodich for that as well, wasn't it? Plays through Darren Bent, who taps home. Yeah, 2-0 victory.
Yeah, Ashley mentioning the closer 1-1 hurt hard. We spoke to Luke Chambers about that at the live event. Poor guy, nearly had a cult moment for him in his football career, didn't he? But sprained my shoulder, says Matt, making it in the North Stand bundle after Stead's goal in 2009. Ended up with a week, double bubble then. Ended up with a week off work. Look, I love it. Michael, I remember the Boxing Day derbies in the 50s. Good for you, Michael. Love that. And then, yeah, Rob, remember Kunaga last minute pen for the 1-1 draw. Scenes, #scenes, Danny Haynes' handball at Carrow Road, also good. Let's bring things up to date, Seb, because hopefully more memories, positive memories to be created on Saturday for Ipswich Town. But facing them will be a Norwich squad kind of with two kind of polar opposites in terms of age. A lot of youngsters coming through, one of which we'll talk about in a minute as well, who's already been mentioned in the chat. But the key arrivals that came through the door in the summer, Seb, have dragged the average age very much the other way. So what is about the players who came in the summer?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned earlier. I think it was kind of a quick fix. Let's see if we can put together this dad's army team to get us out of the league, given it's our last year of a parachute payment, and we'll try and pick up the pieces in the following season if we do get lucky. I mean, the average age of arrivals is just under 30 years old. 29.8 is the average age of the players they've signed. Shane Duffy, very experienced, ex-Brighton, has come in from Fulham. Ashley Barnes obviously won the league with Burnley last year. He's coming on a free transfer. Jack Stacey, the right back, he's 27, so he's a relative youth compared to the rest of them, came on a free from Bournemouth. Danny Bath, I think were we linked with him once, or have I imagined that?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's just a name chucked around, I think, every now and then.
Right, okay. 32-year-old centre-backs coming from Sunderland. Adam Forshaw, 32, ex-Leeds, come on a free from Middlesbrough. They did spend a bit of money. Christian Fasnacht came in from Young Boys, 2.8 million quid. So he was reunited with David Wagner. They signed Uju Hwang on loan from Forest. He's 31
years
old.
Two in a row. Can we make it three, folks?
And the chap we mentioned earlier, Borja Sainz, 22.
No, he can't. It's Borja Sainz. Come on.
22 years old, left winger. He's the kind of only one of the... Where'd of the arrivals from the Turkish Super League. He's the only one of the arrivals who kind of fit the old model they had for so many years under Weber. You know, that, for example, signing James Maddison, you know, from Cov for a few million and looking to sell him for crazy big money with a sell-on fee included. So, yeah, he was the only one. The rest of them seemed to me to be very much a kind of, let's see if we can, you know, throw together some experience. A lot of those players, they're incredibly experienced. Barnes obviously won the league with Burnley last year. Could they do that to get themselves over the line and look to kind of support this young, developing talent they've got?
And quite some big departures as well. I mean, I look at Max Ahrens was kind of, I remember, linked with Man United and Barcelona
apparently.
Like, and we can turn down 20 to 30 million pounds for him. Off he goes to... Bournemouth for 8 million, I think, gets injured straight away. Big names, you know, Timo Pukki leaving as well, Seb. You know, cult figure there, obviously, is good derby pedigree, dare we say it as well. But some big names out the door, some big chunky fees, but definitely more quality going out than came in. Probably,
very
right?
Much so. Yeah, I think so. So, you know, Ballymumba, we discussed, you know, £1 million to Plymouth, which seems crazy. Deal. Yeah, given the ceiling he could have after a brilliant season in League One, surely you look to bring him back. They've got a Greek guy at left back, Dimitris Giannopoulos. But surely you look to give Ballymumba a try. You know, I think they sold him relatively early in the summer. I don't think it was a late one on deadline day or anything. That just seems a really weird strategy. And a lot of the squad that was so comfortable at just walking this league, you know, Tim Krul, Sam Bryan, Timor Pukki, Kieran Dowell, they've all moved on in the summer, as well as a couple of big sales, like you say, Max Ahrens to Bournemouth for 8 million quid. Andrew Omadeli?
Yeah, close.
Close. 12 million quid to Forest. So as I said earlier, they lost 27 million pounds in the latest set of accounts. So I'd imagine a few of these had eyes on, you know, bringing some money in to try and make the accounts look slightly better.
Interesting to see Sam Byram rock up at Leeds as well and get in their team. He's now injured and will miss the game against us. But and Tim Call off to Luton as well. But yeah, some big experience leaves, some experience comes in. How will these players be deployed, Seb?
4-2-3-1, that's what they tend to play. Been used 17 times so far this season. They're similar to us in terms of the amount of passes per kind of movement, but they're so much slower at getting the ball forward. We will attack with a lot more pace and we'll look to really kind of, you know, utilize the counter-attack. And that's our major strength compared to them. The fullbacks do like to get forward. The guy I just said, Dimitris Giannopoulos, I think it is, has 3 assists. Jack Stacey, the right back, has a couple of assists so far this season. They like their crosses. Average 5 accurate crosses per game is the the highest in the league after last night's game against Sheffield Wednesday. So they do like, I guess if you've got, you know, I think Adam Eder's quite tall. Ashley Barnes, obviously we know he's a old-fashioned kind of target man. It makes sense if they're your focal point at the top of your attack, then you're going to want your fullbacks to really look to get the ball into the mixer. They're not possession heavy. 49% is 14th overall. 401 short passes per game is 13th. So these are kind of mid-table numbers, you know. 14 goals, however, scored from open play is the joint second highest in the league. 18.4 shots per game conceded, however, is the highest away from home in the league. So we said earlier they've conceded 25 goals on the road, and they are just letting sides shoot left, right and centre against them, and they're crap at set pieces. 6 goals conceded away from home at set pieces is the highest in the league. That surprised me a little bit. Shane Duffy's quite big. Ashley Barnes, I know he's been injured, but you know, I seem to remember Norwich used to have a real physical kind of streak running through them. It would suggest that those days maybe have gone.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at the keeper situation. Sanger's gone, isn't it?
Sanger's gone, yeah. He had a couple of months out with injury and they played.
He's not the biggest either, is he? He's quite slight. He's not like big imposing character like his dad was. Maybe that's a factor, but yeah, seems very open, unnecessarily so. Take a lot of shots, concede a lot of shots, and an opportunity for Leaf and Chappers from a set piece by the look of it. We've some names mentioned in the chat already. There are some talented individuals in this Norwich team. Perhaps, again, a bit of a summary there in terms of good individuals, but maybe not a Kieran as a 11. But some players to watch out for, Seb. Give us some names.
Yeah, the three I'd pick out that really kind of I like, you know, Gabriel Sara is the main guy. I think 10 million quid signing from the Brazilian league. He can either play central midfield or as a number 10. He's got 5 goals and 8 assists so far this season. He's kind of dropped back into a more kind of number 8 position in the last few weeks. He's a player I really like. He's one they will have to, you know, fight off suitors for, I would imagine, probably in January, but certainly next summer if they don't end up going up. Jonathan Rowe was the big hope at the start of the season, wasn't he? I think he scored 4 in his first 5 games of the season. He scored 5 consecutive games, including League and Cup at the start of the year. He's got 8 goals and 1 assist so far. He'll be a big threat on the counter. He's quite quick. He's been a bit gobby today on Twitter, which I'm not quite sure why you would do that. Yeah, very much so. So one to look out for, him up against either Brandon Williams or Harry Clark. Kenny McLean is a player who, you know, we kind of remember him as a central midfielder. They've got a bit of an injury crisis at the back, so he's dropped into the back line in recent weeks. He will look to get involved throughout the game, averages 78 touches per 90 minutes. So that's like, you know, that's Morsey levels of touches in the game. So he'll really look to pick the ball up off the goalkeeper and look to move it forward. Adam Eder is the number 9, given that Ashley Barnes has been out injured. And since he's come back, he's playing slightly more withdrawn, almost as a 10. Eder's got 6 goals so far this season. And Ashley Barnes is back in the side after his injury. And he's got 3 goals so far this season. But the ones to watch are Sarah and Jonathan Rowe as the kind of attacking hopes. And I think Kenny McLean is the one that makes them tick.
Yeah, I think Rob has mentioned here, slightly worried about Sarah Rowe and also Barnes, as I think he'll do some shit housing. I think there's definitely some characters in there. Obviously, Hernandez, we haven't mentioned as well, likes to chat about us. And I'm not sure.
I presume he would have started on the left, but given the fact that Borja
Sainz, F1, Carlos Sainz.
No, I don't. Given the fact Borja Sainz scored that goal last night, I presume he'll get the nod on the left-hand side of their attack.
Yeah. Adam Eder's a strange one as well. I remember him breaking onto the scene, kind of Mika Richards style. Never really kind of hit, you know, good numbers as a striker. Obviously physical and you know, kind of an impressive stature, but it doesn't feel like a 20-goal a season type striker. And maybe he doesn't need to be, perhaps. But there is, you know, Ashley Barnes as well, on Sheffield Wednesday game, needs a couple of chances before he puts one away. And you know, maybe Rowe and Sara a little bit more clinical when they get the sights of goal, but they're obviously playing out wide, so they're not going to get them. So I think maybe that's a factor there as well in not converting some of their chances. But yeah, going to be interesting. Liam Gibbs has been mentioned in the chat. Norwich's number 8, Seb, but hasn't really featured this season. And I think missed a chance against Preston to win it.
Yeah, missed a sitter, didn't he? Running onto it, centre of that. I think it was around the, was it around the penalty spot? Side-footed it wide. Yeah, he's made 4 starts so far this season. 11 appearances overall with subs. No goals, no assists. I think he's described as kind of, you know, he's a solid central midfielder, but he's not about flair and he's not one to really get you off your seat.
yeah, Jason here mentioning worried about 30-yard worldies. They do, yeah. Signs obviously scored a long range. I don't think it was 30 yards. But
it wasn't 30 yards, no. About 80 yards. No,
Hwang scored a decent one at Watford, didn't he? That was a pretty tidy goal. But he's one of many, Seb, who is injured, and including Josh Sargent, a big miss for them as well.
Yeah, I guess he was the main guy you'd kind of build your attack around this season. They signed him when they were in the Premier League. Wasn't amazing up at that level, but yeah, he got a an Achilles injury at the start of the season in August and not featured since. He is due back. They said Christmas time. I think this game will come too quick for him, but his return is kind of imminent. And I guess the old cliche, he'll be like a new signing for them in January. They've got a couple of other injuries as well. Ben Gibson's been out since the end of October with a metatarsal. Again, due back around the Christmas period, but this game's probably likely to come too soon for him. Grant Hanley, I think he's the club captain still, hasn't featured since April. He got an ACL against Blackburn, hasn't made the comeback yet. And you mentioned Hwang, who's on loan from Forest. He's got a hamstring injury. So again, he's one of those in the kind of Christmas to New Year brackets. This game, in theory, hopefully, should come slightly too soon for them.
Someone in the chat has asked who the referee is. It's referee Josh Smith. And I'm just trying to type and find out his stats, but I think he might have ref three of our games this season, and we've won them all, but I might be wrong.
So
if someone could do me some research in the chat, that would be very much appreciated. But yeah, it is it's Josh Smith. We mentioned Liam Gibbs there, Seb. I mean, other famous players to have crossed the border, Alan Lee, Andy Marshall, Clive Baker, if people want to go back, there are many, many more. But it generally doesn't work out, does it? Jordan Rhodes, yeah, was the last one, I think. He played on loan there, didn't he? Yeah. It never really works out, does it, for the, at least against us. It's just never mix the counties. Don't mix the counties, do you? We've talked about them lot for far too long, Seb. Let's give us your kind of your last thought or your stat of the week, or whatever you want to call it.
Just one thing I noticed, they are second in the league for conceding penalties. They've conceded four so far this season, which is the second highest behind, I think, Sheffield Wednesday. And we are sixth for touches in the opposition box. So through the power of science and maths, we will spend a lot of time in their box, and they're quite good at giving away penalties. So maybe we'll see one this weekend.
Yeah, well, we're overdue one, aren't we? Hopefully it is.
Oh, we had one.
Just one. Brandon Williams is a yeah, that's more recent, but mitigating circumstances there. We'll talk more about him in a second. Peter Morris, lots of big names coming up here. Ian Crook says Romeo. Yes, briefly held the shirt, didn't he? Whatever happened to him? Lives near in Australia with Ben, I think. Let's do some plugs before we talk about us, and then we'll do predictions as well. As you said, we're delighted to be in partnership with the Greyhound. They are open from 10 o'clock on Saturday, pre-match. Head to the Greyhound. Hopefully, a few of you will get a freebie breakfast bap on us. But if not, breakfast baps are available. They're not tainted or spoiled or in any way. So, and they won't have any Marmite anywhere near them as well.
Marmaduke.
So, yeah, head down to the Greyhound. Get involved there. I'm sure plenty of Blue Monday people will be there. Telegram folks as well. So, head down there. Flagship show will be back on Sunday, hopefully in buoyant mood like we were on Tuesday after Watford. Ben's in the host chair. I think it's me and Dave. So it's a hat-trick ball for me this week. So that'll be good. A lot of team members AWOL. And we will confirm what we're doing next week. Seb's can't do Leeds, disloyal. Sack Seb for...
Can't even do the research, sorry.
Joining in fun that excludes his employer. So we'll confirm what's going on. There he is. Ben's here. I knew he'd turn up at some point. Ian Crick lives with me in the Harry Potter cupboard. Yes, there you go. I don't know anything about Harry Potter. That's gone whoosh straight over my head. So yeah, flagship on Sunday. And thank you for your continued support, everyone. Appreciate the super chats that we've had already tonight. Thank you for those. The thumbs up, very much appreciate it as well. We see you, Jason, over on Facebook as well. Please do give us a thumbs up. If you're listening, we appreciate those who listen on podcast as well. Do give us a 5-star rating and a review as well. We very much appreciate that. And over on our socials, over our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, we are doing a giveaway. We've activated price tier number 2. So we are moving up to BM merch of your choice, but we want to give away an Ipswich Town shirt. So do subscribe and do get involved in that giveaway. We'll announce the winner next weekend for that as well. So we want to give away a town shirt. Help us make that happen. Let's talk about Ipswich, Seb, because 5 changes midweek. There's kind of debates about individuals, really, isn't there? It's kind of Clark v. Williams, Wolfenden v2 Anzebe, Luongo versus Taylor, Burns versus Hutchinson, Broadhead versus Harness. Some of these are easier to navigate than others. Give us your thoughts in the chat. What's your config?
I would return to what's probably the traditional strongest starting 11. So I'd have Flaggy in goal. I'd keep Clark. I think he's been okay in recent weeks and deserves the shirt. Williams has just looked slightly off it. And as me, Craig and Mikey debated on the flagship show last Sunday, we probably do trust Clark slightly more from a disciplinary kind of point of view, because if Williams plays, the fans and the Norwich players are going to look to wind him up and make him snap. So I'd keep Clark there. I'd bring Wolfie back in, being a local lad. I'd have him back in alongside Burgess. Davis, no brainer. Morsey and Luongo, central midfield, no brainer. And then I would return to the so-called big guns. So Burns back on the right, Chaplin remaining as the 10. I'd bring Broadhead back in. I know he's not been great recently, but he is a home player and he's a big occasion player, isn't he? You know, the two goals against Port Vale at the end of last season when we needed kind of dragging out of the mud a little bit, Barnsley away. You know, he's a player that can really look to get things going. And obviously Hurst, no brainer up front for me. So yeah, Wolfie back, Clark back, Burns back, Broadhead back. That's what I would do. What about yourself?
Yeah, exactly right. I think a few people said, Neil says it here, back to the normal 11.
Yeah.
The great thing is Wolfenden has had a night off on Tuesday. Broadhead played 30-odd minutes, I think, as well. So it should be fresh as well. So that's really worked in our favour. Burns as well. Yes, came on, but didn't play the whole game. He's coming back from injury. And what's great is that, subject from something from McKenna that we haven't already heard, you know, team of full, apart from Lee Evans, we've got no real major doubts, have we? Yes, Sam Morsey's running the gauntlet, but frankly, if you're going to get booked hacking down someone from Norwich, frankly. So that'll be interesting to see how he deals with that one. And Hurst, I think this is going to be a game for Hurst for me. I'm really excited to see what he can do. And it's really, really lovely, you know, really nicely poised, not lovely, really nicely poised, isn't it, Seb, ahead of the weekend. Let's get to predictions. I can't put it off any longer. Get your predictions in the chat. Interesting predictions or predictions with working will put you in the running for a breakfast pap at the Greyhound on Saturday. So there's your incentive. Back to usual for you, I'm afraid, Seb. But an excellent debut week from Ben from the Telegram group. We are equal scoring on 13. And important to note that you and I predicted a draw at Borough. Ben predicted a win. And that actually got him over the line. He would have lost out otherwise. So Ben's got pedigree for predicting Ipswich matches. We're clutching at straws, perhaps. So something to bear in mind when I put up on the screen what's going to happen.
If you predicted anything other than Ipswich win, I'm going to be really disappointed in you.
Well, I don't want to disappoint you, so I won't. Let's have a look everywhere else first, Seb, because there are some interesting games. Coventry are improving and they are away at Leeds.
They lost to Birmingham last night.
No, they didn't. Cardiff lost to Birmingham on Wednesday night.
Did they? Coventry
won, didn't they?
I thought Coventry lost to Birmingham.
No, Birmingham maybe beat I've imagined Cardiff. Definitely beat Cardiff, yeah. Right.
It's been a love. This is my fourth show in a week.
Same here. I'm pressing all the buttons as well. Don't you give me all that. Woo! You're getting a week off next week as well.
I'm just checking, just in case.
Part-time.
Yeah, you're right. It was Birmingham, Cardiff. Well done. Don't know what I'm talking about. Nonsense.
What did Coventry do?
Don't know. I've turned my phone off now.
Oh, for goodness sake. Anyway, we're not predicting Coventry to do us any favours, though.
I can't see. They ain't gonna lose two on the bounce, are they? Let's be honest. You know, you're suggesting it might be a bit tight. I think it'll be pretty routine for Leeds. I think they'll be a bit angry after the Sunderland result, having seen us go 10 points clear. And Coventry might find themselves on not a hammering, but I think that'll be pretty comfortable and pretty professional.
Despite there being some surprising results here and there, we are not predicting anyone to do us any favours this week. We've gone for Leeds to win. We've gone for Southampton to beat Blackburn, despite Southampton having a little bit of a jewelry moment. We're predicting, despite Birmingham winning, who do they beat again, Seb? Was it Coventry? Oh. Yeah, brilliant. Despite Birmingham winning their first game under Rooney, I think it was, Leicester are there at the weekend, and Ben's gone for a 4-0 Leicester win. Are you expecting it to be a little bit tight now, Birmingham? Now that you know Birmingham have won, does that change anything?
No, not for me. No, I think Leicester will go there and be pretty comfortable. Birmingham were okay for 20 minutes against us and then really dropped off. Rooney hasn't been able to get them going. Maybe the victory over Cardiff last night will start a little bit of a a bit of an upturn in form, but Leicester coming to town is an incredibly hard gig, so I can't see any favours from them.
Fair dues. Right, let's talk about the main one then at the top of the screen. We're all predicting wins. Happy days. I did not disappoint Seb, but I'm going for a 3-2, and I'll tell you for why. I think it will be kind of a carbon copy of most of the games we've had. I think we will hopefully start like a train, and I think they'll just nick a couple of goals here and there, and it'll be a standard kind of Portman Road performance. I can't see McKenna trying to change or tinker with anything. It'll be process, 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 remove the emotion, do the job, win the match. And I think Norwich have got talented players, and I think they've got players who might unlock some of our, you know, defensive frailties. But I think on paper, we should win this one, and that's what I'm predicting. You think it'll be more comfortable? Ben thinks it'll be even more comfortable. He's going for a 4-1. You're going for a 4-2.
Yeah, they have goals in them, as we've discussed. You know, they do score goals on the road. They do concede goals on the road. I think they will look to use the likes of Rowe to hit us on a counter-attack. So I think we will be susceptible to conceding. They looked really open to me last night against Sheffield Wednesday. I know it's a completely different game, and the old cliche is that form goes out the window when it's a derby game. But I think it's our time. I think at Portman Road, the atmosphere is going to be incredible. The welcoming the coach thing will get everybody up and, you know, going for it. The stadium's gonna be like a cauldron, and yeah, if we can start quickly, score early, then yeah, yeah. I can see us scoring four, but I think they will score a couple, to be honest, like you do.
Who are you gonna anoint with great praise? And I don't know what I'm saying. Who's gonna be a star? You predict a player who's gonna make an impact for us, Seb?
I think Broadhead's going to return to form. I think Broadhead might well score in this place. He's had a few weeks off, obviously. When he gets angry, he tends to smash one in. So ideally, you're going to want Jack Stacey to kick him in the first minute and wind him up, and then he's just going to unleash hell from 30 yards out.
There you go. Prediction. Love that. Sepp has shown some work in, and maybe I'll give him a Marmite breakfast bat. Andreas, thank you so much for the super chat and Euros as well. We appreciate you, Andreas, as well. Welcome back to the Telegram group as well. Great to have you with us. And thank you for supporting the podcast as you do. One of the long-standing members of the Blue Monday crew. So we love you, Andreas. Thank you so much for that. Here we go then. Let's see what the chat has to say. Jamie is going for a 5-1. Chappers hat trick. I'm going to translate that as we have got 2-0 from Romeo. Hutchinson second half double. Bit of squeaky bum in the first half there from Romeo. A lot of support, Nick, agreeing with your best 11 stance as well. What else have we got here? It's always a game for her, says Alex. Yep. 3-1. It's a popular score in the derby under Majorton, I think, that, if I'm right. I'm liking that one from Nick. Beren, will have a Wolfie goal on his 150th game. And I think if we score, the stat man said it's our 5,000th goal in our history, I think he said.
Okay.
I think I've got that right.
We're all hoping for a Harry Clark thunder from
Thunder well, bastards. You can say it. Yeah. We're 58 minutes. 3-0 from Eric, 2-0 from David. HCH going 3-1 as well. I like the 3-1 now, actually. Roy's matching with 3-2. Colin's gone full names here. 3-0 he's going for. Steve, whatever team we'll put out, it'll be superior to theirs. He says, no fear. And I'm normally cautiously pessimistic. Scum go 1-0 up, then we batter them 4-1, says Skip. Neil also going for a 4-1. Dominique matching me with a 3-2. 3-1. A lot of 3-1s. Here's Chris. He wants a breakfast bat. 6-3 for Chris. Luke's going 4-1. Here's Mark. I don't see you getting any points off Leeds and Leicester Light. Mark, who's your team? Let us know who you support. No one expected to guess get points at Borough or Watford or Sunderland. And along came Ipswich. So Kiel's going for a 4-1, Rob 5-1, 3-1. Michael, surely we are due a hat trick from someone. Quite right, it's been a while. Ashley's going 3-1 as well. Nick 6-1. Alex, Broadhead scores from miles out. Chapman scores from a low corner to the penalty spot. Hurst from the penalty spot. And then Luongo with the volley, 4-0. Nice working. Got 4-2. From Mark, 5-1 from Ed, Chaplin double, Hurst Broadhead, Taylor Thunder bastards. We haven't talked about Taylor off the bench, you think, Seb? Is this a moment for unleashing something?
I would. I'd have, yeah. With Sarah will probably play in central midfield for them, so I'd want him controlled. And I think just, you know, Morsy and Luongo have that great understanding. We saw Luongo was really looking to get, he was really getting back to form, wasn't he, before that suspension at Middlesbrough away. So him and Morsy have been absolutely phenomenal for the last 11 months of their partnership. So yeah, I'd bring him in and look to really control that central midfield and keep Sarah quiet because he will hurt us.
Matt's provided a prediction, but he knows why I'm not putting that on the screen. But thank you, Matt. Nevertheless, I appreciate the contribution to the chat. You know why we love you, appreciate you, but we're not going to put that one on the screen. Just positivity is what we want. 6-0 says Mullet. There we go. Hurst times two. Harness. Morsy, Broadhead, Burns. I'm loving the work in 6-1s. Yeah. 5 says FBL. 5-0 them. Yeah. Ipswich 5 them nil. First half hat trick from Hurst. 2 for Broadhead. Alex, it's 97 all over again. 2-0, 3-1 from Tim. Chaplin hat trick. Yeah, here we go. 1-0 for Coventry, Southampton. Maybe there. Yeah, good shout from Mullet. Challenging Rich on Coventry results, Seb. Brave. Brian from Auckland, New Zealand. He's going 3-1. Ipswich, I thought it was New Zealand 3, Ipswich 1. That was it's a totally different game there. Maybe a Boxing Day game. 3-0. We've got Birmingham drawing with Leicester. Rooney revolution. Yeah, so lots of stuff here. Thank you, everyone. Overwhelming positivity, Seb. And here's Sam representing Norwich. So give us your prediction as well, Sam, if I haven't put it up already. But yeah, Sully's here as well. There we go. Everyone, lots of good chat. Thank you, folks, for getting involved. And there's Tim. He wants a bat, doesn't he? There you go, Tim. Good to have you with us. Thank you, everyone, for your predictions. We will come back. Well, Seb won't be back next week because he's work shy. But we'll see how he gets on next week. We're in the home straight. If you want to shout out, if you want to get a rallying cry, if you want to get a prediction, now is the time. Thank you, everyone, if you've made it this far. We appreciate your good numbers, unsurprisingly. So thank you so much for joining us on a Thursday night. Come and join us on Sunday, flagship show, hopefully with some positive stuff to talk about. If you can't make the game, join us in the Telegram group. 2-week free subscription, 2-week free trial, sorry, subscription thereafter. Slow it down, Rich, slow it down. So perfect time to get involved in the Telegram group over Christmas. Do get involved in our giveaway over on our socials. Ipswich Town shirt up for grabs. And Greyhound, pre-match, get yourself a Marmite breakfast map or others are available. 10 a.m. the Greyhound opens. Get involved there and do support ITFC fans, supporting food banks, ITFC women on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff. All good stuff. Seb, I'm going to put some comments on the screen. You can do your usual summings up and all that kind of stuff. But when you say thank you to C London, tell us who you are, C London, but we appreciate you in the super chat. Thank you, everyone, for super chats tonight. Please don't forget to give a thumbs up and a subscribe as well. But thank you very much. A good way to sign off. Seb, over to you.
Thank you for everyone for getting involved. You know, this show and this chat wouldn't be the same without the energy provided by you guys. So huge thank you for that. We said on the opening of the evening that it's a bit of a weird one tonight. You know, we do all this research and we try and pay respect to the opposition. It's a bit more difficult tonight given our, you know, 30 years for me, 40 years for you of kind of rivalry against them. We try and paint the opposition in a bright light. We try and kind of, you know, give you a reason to go away and discuss them. But all that said, I'll take my professional hat off. Ooh, for a minute and veneer. Just say at 12:30 on Saturday, smash them to fucking pieces. Thank you.
I wish we could end on that, but we've got to follow the normal format. So there you go. We'll clip that on your podcast. I'm going to give some baps out. I'm going to give out 3 now because everyone has been super generous to us. What have we got here? I think John, I quite like Kylian Mbappe from John. So John, if you're at the Greyhound, come and find us. We'll give your name to Dan and the folk behind the bar. So that'll be sorted, but otherwise come and find us. What else have we got? Richard, if you're going there as well, I enjoyed your Norwich historic enjoyment, the most tensest, most joyous games. That's what it's going to be about, hopefully, on Saturday. So, Richard, there's a Greyhound breakfast bat waiting for you as well if you come down on Saturday. And what else have we got? I've got I'll let you pick the last one, Seb. I've gone for 3. It's between 3. Barron's and his Wolfie 150th, goal on his 150th, or Chris for his 6-3, or Tim for his 9-0. Or Dominique in the mix as well with insert Ted Lasso positive comment here.
let's give it to Tim for the 9-0. Tim, if you're around on Saturday, pop in and there's a breakfast bat waiting for you.
Thank you, everyone who got involved in that. We made no commitment, so hopefully no one's upset about that. And frankly, if you come and find us, I'm sure one of Seb or I will buy you a pint as well. So thank you, everyone, for getting involved. If, as a combo, we don't see you before Christmas, thank you from both of us for your support for the pre-match show. We will obviously be back at some point, probably in January, but we'll do some stuff over Christmas, I'm sure. So thank you, everyone, for getting involved. As we say, like, this is all about you guys as well. So hopefully we've given you some insights there. But as said, Sebs, you know, it's about us this weekend. Hopefully we've got plenty going in our favour. Get noisy, get loud, get behind the boys. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. We'll hopefully see you on Sunday. And Seb, I'll see you in the Greyhound for your Marmite bap, you weirdo. And until then, everyone, come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.